Hi, this is What You Say in English, Season 3, Episode 24.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of What You Say in English, the podcast in which I listen to you and give you my professional feedback. Today, I have an IELTS test that I posted on my TikTok channel. If you didn't know, I have a TikTok account, which is doing pretty well, I have to say. It's amazing, all the reception that I've had. So in that channel, I think I've posted 2 full speaking tests. You have to bear in mind, of course, that the test is not a full test. Remember that the timing that you have for the IELTS exam, the speaking test, is around, let's say, 12 to 14 minutes. I can only upload videos of 10 minutes. So I have to make do with the time that I have. I have to reduce the answer time. I know it's a little bit restrictive, and some people have complained about it, but you have to understand that I only have 10 minutes. And I have to make do with that. So I reduce the number of questions and the response time. I actually put a timer on the screen that you can see, and you know what time you have left. And that's a problem because it puts a little bit of stress on the candidates, on the people who want to practice their speaking skills. But on the other hand, I think it's also beneficial because one main problem that students usually have is hesitation. When they hesitate, they get a question. For example, the examiner asks a question and they have to provide an answer as quickly as possible. So you have to be on your toes and really be ready to answer a question. So hesitation can really bring your mark down. If you're aiming, for example, to get an 8, which is a very high score, or a 7.5, which is still advanced, you have to understand that hesitation will definitely get the best of you if you're not prepared. So the idea of that test, the one that I have on TikTok, check out my profile on TikTok. Of course, I will make it available on the episode description today. I will put the direct link to it. But you'll have to check out the tests. And of course, you have to bear with me. I only have 10 minutes. When TikTok eliminates the restriction of the 10 minutes, which I think it's going to be further ahead in time, maybe I can do a full IELTS exam, a speaking exam, so to speak. So I've chosen one of the people who tagged me in his post. He is from Cali. I think his name is David, and he's from Cali, Colombia, and he did very well. You will hear exactly what I'm talking about. I think he did an incredible job. I'm not really sure what he does. Of course, I didn't ask what the person did for a living. I don't know what he does. He might be an English teacher as well. I'm not sure. In such a case, he's got an incredible pronunciation. He did really well. Of course, there are some elements and some aspects that need a little bit of improvement. I don't know either what his aim is. I don't know what is the band score that he wants to get in the IELTS exam if he's preparing for the IELTS exam. So there are a lot of questions out there. I'm just giving my feedback on the material that I downloaded from my account. So I downloaded the video, I processed it, I did all the editing, I eliminate the silences, that there's an awkward silence when you have to prepare for part 2. There's 1 minute in which you have to prepare your answer. But I'm just eliminating all the awkward silences so you can have a full experience. The next clip, the next segment, you're going to listen to the full test. And after that, I will speak about my impressions, my feedback, and what he can do to improve on his speaking skills. Stay tuned. Good afternoon. My name is Frank. Can you tell me your full name?
Arian David.
And can you tell me where you're from?
I'm from Cali, Colombia.
Now, in this first part, I'd like to ask you some questions about yourself. Let's talk about the place where you're living now. Tell me about the town or city where you're living at the moment.
Right now, I'm living in Cali. It's a city located in the southwest of Colombia. There is a lot of traffic in Cali. The bus is always very packed, and I use the bus to get around to go to college, to go to work, and to come back to my house.
Do you think you will move to a different place in the near future?
No, I really doubt it because I'm planning to finish university and to keep working here. So no, not now.
Let's talk about email. What kinds of emails do you receive about your work or studies?
I usually receive job offers or maybe ads, and I also receive a lot of university assignments.
Do you prefer to phone or text your friends?
I prefer to text them, as phoning them, it can be dangerous on the streets, and I don't like it because sometimes people might not hear you, so no.
I'm going to give you a topic, and I'd like you to talk about it for about 1 to 2 minutes. Before you talk, you'll have 1 minute to think about what you're going to say. You can make some notes if you wish. Do you understand? Take some paper and pencil to make your notes. And here's your topic. I'd like you to describe a hotel that you know. All right? Remember, you have 1 to 2 minutes for this, so don't worry if I stop you. I'll tell you when the time's up. Can you start speaking now, please?
Okay, so the hotel that I know is the Police Hotel, located in Bogota, in the north of the city. And the hotel, well, when you enter, it has a huge parking lot, and there is a path for pedestrians. So you walk down that path, and you get to the lobby. The lobby is really pretty. It has, well, the office, it has some vending machines, it has a bathroom, it has a couch, and then there are bedrooms in the first floor, second and third. You have to go up the stairs, and you find the bedrooms. They're very pretty. They have really cozy and comfortable beds. They have beautiful bathrooms. They have a TV for you to watch Netflix. Some bedrooms even have a balcony. And well, that's the hotel.
Thank you. We've been talking about a hotel that you know, and I'd like to discuss 2 or more general questions related to this. What are the sorts of things that people consider important when they stay at hotels?
Well, they might consider important the price, the location, the bedrooms, the service that they offer. If they offer any meals, or if they offer, let's say, breakfast, lunch, the view that the hotel might have, that sort of thing.
Why do you think that some people just don't like staying in hotels?
Price, maybe their preference and their prices. Maybe they don't have the budget to afford a hotel, so they go for hostels. Or some people might have had negative experiences. It all depends on every person.
Thinking more about luxury hotels, do you think that staying at a luxury hotel is a waste of money?
No, that truly depends on each person and their experience. If they had maybe a negative service and say they were supposed to have food taken to their bedrooms and that didn't happen, well, that may be a waste of money. It depends on the hotel.
Do you think that working at a hotel as a career is a waste of time?
No, that depends again. It depends on the job that you have. Let's say if you are a janitor, if you are the CEO of the hotel, or if you are maybe a cook and you're well paid. Well, it's not a waste of money nor time. So it depends on what you do.
Do you think that working at a hotel is a good career for life?
Yeah, I mean, that depends on what you do, on if whether you like it. I mean, you're the one that determines if it is a good career for your life or not. If you like it, if you make good money, if you have a good time there. No, it's not a waste of money nor time.
Thank you very much. That is the end of the speaking test. Thank you. This is my feedback on his speaking skills. I think overall he did a great job, but I would like to break down his performance into the different criteria that we have with IELTS. Remember that this information is also available online for free, actually. They have the band descriptors for the speaking, and quite honestly, it's not very different from the one that examiners use. Maybe the examiners will have a little bit of more detailed descriptions in every descriptor, but basically it's the same information. So what you get for free on the IELTS website is actually what the examiners use. So there's basically no difference. And when it comes to Cambridge exams, the marking descriptors, either for writing or for speaking, are exactly the same. What you have in the books, for example, the exam books at the back, they usually come with sample writings and sample speakings. Sometimes the newer editions of textbooks, of exam books, come with, I think they come with one video and a complete feedback on that video. And the marking score, the band descriptors, is exactly the same, at least for Cambridge. In the case of IELTS, it's not. It's just a little bit different. It's not really that much. Okay, so let's start with his performance. In terms of fluency and coherence, I think David demonstrated an overall good level of fluency, and he was able to express ideas coherently. Overall, I think he was ready to answer the questions. Of course, this is a recorded questions. The list of questions are pre-recorded. He could have had time to think about what he was going to say. That can give you a head start, which is good. That was my initial intention, so that people could watch the video and think about what they were going to say. I think that gives them a sense of achievement, which is, of course, you will not have in the exam, but this is a first step. Don't take my TikTok challenge as a real IELTS exam or real experience. Is as close as possible, is as good as it gets. So I think David demonstrated a very good level of fluency. However, there are some instances of hesitation, repetition, and self-correction that interrupted the flow of speech. Take a look at these examples. This is the first one.
There is a lot of traffic in Cali.
And I know that it's very simple. It's actually quite normal in terms of speaking discourse, because when we talk, sometimes we rephrase and we backtrack to what we said and we reformulate things. But of course, I'm not saying that this is not bad. I'm just saying that if he wants to get an 8.5 or even a 9, he has to be careful with these things. Of course, this is at the highest level. Still, he can get a pretty advanced score. And it's not much of a problem. Having said this, there is a lot of traffic in Cali. I think it's good in terms of vocabulary, but in terms of fluency and coherence, especially fluency, there's a little bit of repetition. Listen to this following segment. Do you prefer to phone or text your friends?
I prefer to text them, as phoning them in. It can be dangerous on the streets. And
you can feel, for example, here that there's a lot of repetition. I think it's part of feeling nervous. The repetition of the it can be dangerous on the streets. But I think I will talk about this phrase as well when it comes to lexical resource and when it comes to grammatical range and accuracy. But I think here, doubting, repeating the pronoun several times, it minimizes fluency a little bit. The last sentence is this. Do you think that working at a hotel is a good career for life?
Yeah, I mean, that depends on what you do, whether you like it. You're the one that determines if it is a good career for your life or not.
And overall, I think it's good. I think it's a great utterance. But of course, there's a minimum effect on fluency in this case. To improve fluency and coherence, I think David should practice speaking more smoothly without excessive repetition and self-correction. I think it comes with practice. I think he should work on reducing hesitation, repetition, and self-correction. Self-correction is not really much of a problem, but if you self-correct too much, definitely, and you're aiming at a very high score, remember that will affect your performance. One way to do this, to reduce that hesitation is by engaging in regular conversation and practice, either with native speakers or other learners of English, to build confidence, basically, and fluidity in speech. Also to improve coherence, I think David can practice using linking words and phrases, things like however, on the other hand, in addition, as a result. Additionally, outlining thoughts before speaking can help ensure that ideas are presented in a logical order. Remember that when what we do for writing, we have an introduction, then we have the body, and then we have a conclusion. This same structure can apply to speaking. It always makes sense to answer the question, give some examples, elaborate on the idea, and at the end of your answer, to reformulate everything and bring everything to an end. That's a great way of organizing an answer, and that will make sure that you're extending. Also, to focus on clarity, I think David should ensure that his message is clear and easy to understand. This can be achieved by choosing appropriate vocabulary, using correct grammar, and organizing ideas in a logical manner. Now, in terms of lexical resource, I think David used an adequate range of vocabulary to discuss various topics. However, there were a few instances where the word choice could have been more precise or appropriate. Remember that, again, I'm not going over this in a way that it's not good what he did. Remember that this will depend on the level, of course. For a 7 is great, even for a 7.5 in the IELTS band scores. But if you want to aim at a higher score, then you have to watch out for these things. For example, when he described the hotel in part 2, he called it the police hotel. I think he could be replaced with a hotel for police officers. This will give more clarity. I think the police hotel, using police as an adjective, I think that's what he said, by the way. If that was not what he said, then we're in the middle of a bigger problem, because that's what I understood. We're talking about intelligibility. That would be pronunciation and even word choice. But I think that saying a hotel for police officers is better. It improves clarity. Also, when he talked about the questions about the hotels, he said this.
And the hotel, well, when you enter, it has a huge parking lot and there is a path for pedestrians.
And I think this could be easily rephrased as this. Upon entering the hotel, you will find a large parking lot. That way, you're using more appropriate vocabulary. So upon entering, you will find a large parking lot. Huge is okay, but large is, I think it's clear. The idea is conveyed a lot better. Take a listen to this other example.
They have beautiful bathrooms.
You might want to say that the use of beautiful to describe bathrooms is okay. And it's fine for a 7. Let's say 6.5, 7, it's fine. But using the word beautiful to describe bathrooms is not incorrect per se, but normally it's not the most appropriate word to describe bathrooms. I would probably use words like modern bathrooms or well-designed bathrooms. I think it would be more fitting to the situation. And this is this is what I'm talking about if you're aiming at a higher score. Remember that using appropriate vocabulary and also the adjective vocabulary in itself is not really that high. You have to worry about the level of the words that you're using. If you use a word at a bad, let's say at a B2 level, beautiful is a very basic adjective. So I think modern would be a lot better, a better choice, and well-designed definitely will reflect the level of if you're aiming at a higher score. But I think he did a great job here. I think in terms of enhancing his lexical resource, I think David should continue expanding his vocabulary and practice using more varied and precise language. To expand vocabulary, I think he should continue learning new words and phrases related to a wide range of topics. This can be done by reading articles, listening to podcasts, or watching videos in English. Turn on the subtitles if you have the subtitles. And it's a great reading listening activity in which you associate the pronunciation of words and the spelling at the same time. To use precise language and improve word choice, I think he could work on using more specific and descriptive language when discussing various topics. For instance, instead of saying beautiful bathrooms, as he said in the beginning, he could say modern and well-designed bathrooms. That would be a better option. Also, to practice using synonyms and paraphrasing. That would be another thing that he can do. I think he should have practiced rephrasing sentences using different words to express the same idea. This can help him become more comfortable using a wider range of vocabulary in different contexts. Now let's talk about his grammatical range and accuracy. I think he demonstrated a fair range of grammatical structures, but made several errors, which sometimes affected the clarity of the message. Let me pick up some examples from the test.
I prefer to text them as phoning them.
And using prefer is always a problem because you really have to make sure that you're using this specific structure. He should have said, I prefer texting them to phoning them. And of course, he made the mistake with to phoning them. He said as phoning them. It's pretty clear here, using the structure accurately, of course. To get a 6.5 is not really a problem, to get a 7 even, but to get a 7.5, then it's a problem because he will not be able to reach a higher score. Also, take a listen to this other phrase he said.
That may be a waste of money, depends on the hotel.
I think a more accurate sentence would be, it might be considered a waste of time depending on the hotel and the quality of service provided. That would be a better sentence. And it would be better constructed in terms of grammatical range and the whole complex sentence, which is obviously what he needs to do if he's aiming at an 8, for example. Take a listen to this other example.
No, that depends again. It depends on the job that you have.
And I think a better phrasing would be, no, it depends on the specific job you have within the hotel. I think phrasing sentences like this, taking a little time, and it requires practice to do this. Let me tell you, it doesn't happen overnight. And remember that the more you practice, the better you become at it. And generally, what can I tell him about grammatical range and accuracy? I think he should study complex grammar structures. I think he should focus on learning and mastering a variety of complex grammatical structures, such as conditionals, passive voice, and various verb tenses. This can be achieved through grammar exercises, lessons and self-study, watching YouTube videos of other teachers explaining grammar structures, and it's always you will find a lot of resources out there. Also, practice using grammar correctly. I think he should engage in regular speaking practice, focusing on using the grammar structures that he has learned correctly and consistently. Getting feedback from a teacher or another language partner can be valuable in identifying and correcting errors. And talking about correction, if you want to improve your self-correction, I think that while he should aim at reducing excessive self-correction during speech, I think the candidate, in this case, David, should also work on identifying and correcting his own grammar mistakes. This can be done by recording your speech and listening to the recording and then noting any errors that you might probably pick up. I know that people don't like recording themselves, but listen, this is a proven, tested strategy. So you got to make sure that you record yourself. You take your phone and you record yourself. I think overall, focusing on these things, he would greatly improve on his speaking skills and get a really high score. In terms of pronunciation, I didn't feel any problems. Actually, he used very good intonation, good pronunciation, the final sounds that he made, for example, clusters at the end with plurals, with past tenses, the ED, he did them all. And basically, I never felt that he was lacking any of the structures or any of the features that we usually associate with good pronunciation. I think it was pretty clear. And even though the recording was not the best recording, I still could make sense of what he was saying. It was great. It was great pronunciation. He almost sounded like a native speaker in that sense. And I'm not saying this just to encourage you, like, oh, if you really want to, impress people, you have to speak with a native accent. No, you don't have to do that. I think you can still be intelligible. You can still be a great speaker. But, when it comes to being clear, you know, having this crisp, clear, clear pronunciation using a native-like model, it always helps. I mean, I'm not going to lie, it always helps. But remember that this is not essential. And honestly, you know, from an examiner's perspective, it's not really that much the help that, you know, the improvement that you can get. Okay, so this is everything that I can say about David. Stay tuned for the final segment of today's episode. So this was the end of today's episode. Thank you very much for joining me another week. This kind of feedback, I think I need to do it more often because people love it and I think it helps them improve on their speaking skills. And I love giving it. It keeps me on my toes again because as a teacher, you always have to be aware of what you can do and how you can give feedback. Giving feedback is an art in itself and you have to keep on doing it. In terms of you as a learner, learning from me, listening from my experience, and following the structure that I usually follow when I give feedback, I think, again, you can also self-assess your speaking skills. It's not really that hard. Of course, you need the background, you need the knowledge when it comes to linguistics, pronunciation, grammar, and all those things. But if you're pretty advanced in your knowledge of English, you have come a long way. And I have to say, it's not really that hard. Doing this kind of work is always rewarding because when you tell people what they're doing great and when they can see how, with more clarity, how they can improve on their speaking skills, it's great. It's amazing. And I think I'm getting that kind of feedback that I was missing with this podcast. I know that I have a lot of people following my podcast. And yeah, I can see now that Anchor is providing me with statistics and numbers of all the Spotify listeners. I don't know about the other platforms, but now that I can get this kind of feedback, I realize that a lot of people are following my advice, and I think it's great. It's not only about me, it's about you as a learner and how you can improve on your speaking skills as well. Remember, if you want to take a dip and practice the IELTS speaking test, you can go over my TikTok channel and follow me. And also make sure you check in my profile. I have two IELTS exams, speaking exams, but I also have parts two. And that's another thing that I wanted to explain because a lot of people have asked me to do like a whole experience for the Cambridge exams, but that's pretty hard. The problem with the Cambridge exams is that it's paired. It's a paired format. You have two people. And to do that on the TikTok or the platform is actually quite difficult. It's almost impossible because you need to interact with another person and the other person is not there. So I only do it with part one, which is usually more individual and it's more similar to the IELTS in that sense. And also with part two, because part two is the individual long turn. So you have to speak on your own and react to another person's pictures or other kind of input, because in the case of the proficiencies, it's not visual. It's a card. It's a text, basically. But it's the individual long term. So the activity lends itself to be done in this way, in this format. So that's why I can't do it with the rest of the exam. But still, you always have me. I've had students and other listeners do a mock test, a mock speaking with me. I organize it. I will not charge it. Yeah, I will not charge you for this. As long as you let me use it for the podcast, you will not pay a cent. Nothing. Niente. I think I'm making a mistake here with my Italian. You get the idea. You get the gist. So go ahead. Send me an email. I get lots of emails from people asking me for classes. By the way, I will address that in a future episode. But yes, I'm here. Use me. And I will organize this speaking test, this speaking mock, and I will give you feedback on it. I've had the most wonderful experiences, and I've made a lot of incredible friends along the way. So It's a ride, definitely. So thank you very much for joining me this week, and until next week, bye-bye.